deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of studies out of the book of Leviticus. So get close to your radios and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
The Old Testament, and we are now at the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the... It's kind of like the ministers, the Old Testament ministers' handbook. It was the guidelines for God's people. God's people is a holy people. And when God delivered them out of Egypt, God began to give them law. He began to give them law. He gave them the Ten Commandments, gave them the moral law, and the civil law, and the religious law. When you come over to the book of Leviticus, he began to explain to them how unholy people could live around a holy God. Now, how can a holy God dwell among unholy people? How can he do that? That's a question for the Bible Way scholars. How can he do that? It's through the sacrificial system, isn't it? It's through having an atonement, having an offering, a sacrifice for your sin, because sin costs. And keep in mind, all of us are unholy people. All of us are imperfect people. Now, if you don't believe that you're imperfect, whoever you're living with, just ask them. Yeah, they'll tell you, yeah, you ain't made it yet. No, you still got some work to do. I appreciate you coming to church and everything, but you ain't made it yet. Hello, somebody. Amen. You know, that is a myth, though, isn't it? You often think that once you get saved and once you start going to church, then you think you're perfect. And you wonder, why come you not? Huh? Tell the truth. You done everything. They said, you know, why is I'm still, you know, thinking? I still think about, you know, this temptation still hit me. Huh? Tell the truth, somebody. Amen. Amen. You still have some of the same kind of battles, and you kind of wonder. And I think that's why we really need to get some more teaching and not so much preaching, as we need to take some time and explain some things. And so I'm glad to see a crowd like this coming to Wednesday night Bible study. Bible Way, you ought to give yourself a hand, because God is doing. I can take you into a lot of churches, and they only just got a handful of people on Wednesday night. They may have two deacons, a trustee, and a preacher, and that's their Bible study. And for the most part, they just teaching themselves. The deacons are teaching the deacons and trustees. In other words, the officers are just teaching. They're not really making any headways in teaching the common people there at the church. And so, but you just look around this room here. Ain't too many preachers and deacons up in here. We just got some common people. Isn't that good? And see, when something can hit the common people, when you get the grassroots movement, then you got a movement. And that's the reason I believe God has got a movement going on here at Bible Way. I say, I believe God has got a movement. Y'all didn't hear me. I say, I believe God has got a movement going on. You know, the thing that really excites me on Sunday is when a lit 7-year-old come up to me and they hug me, you know, and grab me around the waist and stuff and say, "Him, Pastor, look, look, I got your whole sermon." They got all 3 points, even the illustrations and stuff. Now, tell me that kids don't understand. Oh, yes, they do. These kids love Bible way. Amen. Because I fix it for, we got children church right for the adults. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I say hello, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. But aren't you glad about what God is doing? Are you glad about what he's just doing in your life? Amen. Now, you just think about you. Think about you 10 years ago. Where would you have been on Wednesday night 10 years ago? Hello, somebody. And some of you, you don't have to go that far back because some of you are fresh out of the world. Tell the truth, somebody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so I'm glad about what I see happening here at Bible Way. Now you just look around this room. Look at all these young people here. Yeah, give the Lord some praise. This ain't normal on Wednesday night to see folks in their 20s and 30s in Bible study, and ain't nobody done call you and made you come today. Hello, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me get to my lesson. I'm just excited about y'all. Let's get excited about the text. Amen. Can we get excited about the text? The book of Leviticus, it teaches us so much. It regulates every area of our life. This book of Leviticus teaches us how to be holy. It taught the Israelites when they came out of Egypt how they was to be holy, how a holy God could live among them. Well, God is not going to change, so then who needs to change? Man had to change, so they had to change. They had to come on and be holy because God is holy. God said you need to raise your standard. See, God never asks us to be like anybody else. God always asks us to be like him. That's why you can't stop at saying, "I'm going to be like Rev. William." Your goal is too low. He's a good man and everything, but you still is falling short of the glory of God. You can't say, "I'm going to be like the pastor." That's good, but your goal, you got to go beyond the pastor. Because why is that? If the truth be told, if you follow me 24 hours a day, I'm going to let you down. All of us going to let each other down. That's why you got to follow Jesus, because he's not going to let you down. All right, so this book of Leviticus, it teaches us how to be holy. Every area of your life in chapter 11, it talks about even the food. I just want to bring this to your attention. In chapter 11, it tells you the food to eat and the food not to eat in chapter 11. And you're going to find that catfish is even in the list. That you really don't supposed to be eating catfish. You know, I'm just throwing that out, you know. I mean, you can now under the law, but in back in Bible days, amen, amen. And still today, do you know the best diet in the world is the Mediterranean diet, which is this diet right here? Leviticus chapter 12. I look at how a lot of folks today, they're going to the Bible and getting the diet right at the Bible, and then, but they don't want to get a Bible credit for it. I say, look at that, they're coming up with all these things, but they got that at the Bible. Amen. See, you're not supposed to eat anything that eats something else, like scavengers. And see, like a catfish is a scavenger fish. See, it don't have no fins on it. It's a scavenger fish. It's God's garbage disposal for the sea. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, because somebody was going to have some catfish. I didn't want to talk about no catfish. Let's go on. That's chapter 11. You can see the food that you can eat and food that not eat. Now, you don't, be careful. Be careful with that list, okay? Because now, in this day and age, up under the New Testament, up under the New Covenant, God has declared all food clean, okay? So be careful, because you're going to find pig in the list, this list right here, all right? But in terms of if you want to eat healthy, this it right here. If you really just want to eat healthy, that's it right there. Amen. See, we done got so used to, you know, just frying stuff and put enough salt. You know, you put enough salt on anything. I don't care what it is. You can put some salt on some chitlins and you can just, you know, get them on down, gobble them, put them right there on the plate. Hello, somebody. Because that's what we've done in slavery. Keep in mind, in slavery, when the master would kill the hog, he would get all of the good pieces of the hog, leaving us, the slaves, with like the head, the feet, the ears, and the chitlins, the maws, and all of that. So if you want to eat, you better put some salt on that and come on. Hello, somebody. And so we kept that same kind of stuff. See, the thing about particularly black people, they can take almost anything and turn it into a delicacy. Hello, somebody. Until master start wanting some of what they're having down there. Hello, somebody. Our people were some of the best cooks around and still some of the best cooks around. Amen. Pick feet. Ooh, pickle pit feet. Hog head cheese and pickle pit feet. Amen. Amen. Hog eyes and stuff. Pork brains and eggs and let me leave that alone now. Let's go on now. Let's get it. We sure got to get in the lesson now. We got to get in that lesson, y'all. Amen. All right. Chapter 11, though, is the chapter that's on diet. Chapter 12 is on motherhood. It's on motherhood, how a lady ought to take care of herself. That's chapter 12. Chapter 13 is dealing with leprosy. And that's what I really want to focus on. I want to focus on leprosy because leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And I want to point that out this evening by looking at five characteristics of leprosy as a type of sin. The first characteristic of leprosy is deeper. It goes deeper than the skin. It's deeper than the skin. When a person had a sore on them, look at what the Bible says. Begin with verse 2. When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a swelling, a scab, a bright spot, and it be the skin of the flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest or unto one of his sons, the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white and the plague in sight is deeper, that a word is, than the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. All right, so leprosy, it was just not a disease or something on the surface, It was something underneath the surface. How do you know a sinner? You don't know a sinner just by how they may look on the outside. You know a sinner because it comes inside out. It's just like leprosy. Leprosy start inside out. The reason you got that scab and the reason it's turning white is because there's something wrong on the inside. So when you see people acting crazy and kooky on the outside, that lets you know something is wrong where? On the inside. Now, let me give you one verse that I want you to hold on to. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Who can get that for me? Jeremiah 17 and 9. Raise your hand if you want to get that for me. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. If you don't know where that's at, let the table of content be your friend. All right. Sister Glaze got it back here. Let me. All right. Uh-oh, the wind just blew it.
Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things. In other words, your heart will fool you. See, that's why most of the time, if not all the time, somebody have to tell you about your problem. See, you don't think you as bad as you really are. Your heart done fool you. It's just like an alcoholic. Everybody else can see he needs to stop drinking, but he can't see it one bit. He think, matter of fact, he's staggering everywhere, talking about he can handle his liquor. And he's staggering over everything, talking about he can handle it. Amen. And laying out there on top of the car thinking he done went to bed. Hello, somebody. You see how your heart done fool you? Amen. Trying to get up under the hood here, talking about the covers and stuff. Your heart. And see, that's why you even had to go to a priest to let somebody else inspect you and tell you how bad you are. Amen. Because if it was left up to to the leper, everybody in the camp would have leprosy. Because he wouldn't move. Amen. Amen. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Sin is not just a surface problem, but it's a heart problem. The second thing about leprosy as a type of sin, it spreads. It spreads. It spreads. Look down here at verse number 7 of still chapter 13 of Leviticus. It says, but if the scab do what? Spread. If the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he has been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. He said, tell him to come back again. And if the priest see that, behold, that scab spread it in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Amen. So on his first visit, he see that, you know, he see that it done spread it a little bit on his hands, or on his forehead. And then the next thing you know, it was just up here on his forehead, then it spread it on one side of his face. It says, I think that's leprosy, but give me about 7 more days and come back. And then just about his whole face is covered with leprosy. He said, man, you got it. You got it. So they weren't quick to pronounce leprosy on people. And this is why you need to be very cautious about judging somebody. Make sure you got all your facts. Because once you put it out, it's just like salt at the salt shaker. It's hard to get it back. And so do you see how careful this priest was? Because whatever that priest said was going to go. It's going to go. So that priest says, let me give you some time. Come back and see me again. If it had spread it, that was leprosy. That's the thing about sin. Sin spreads. It starts with a thought. Hello, somebody. It starts with a thought. Then it moves, it spread to a desire. Then it moves to an action. See, a person just don't up and find themselves laying in bed with another man's wife. Man, how did I get here? I don't know how I got here. I don't know how that happened. I mean, what's she doing in my bed? I don't know how that happened. No. It started when I first saw her at church on Sunday wearing that red dress. Hello, somebody. Who is that in that red dress? That's what you were saying. Hello, somebody. Who is that? You kept looking back. Talking about you tying your shoe. You ain't tying your shoe. Amen. Kept looking back at that lady in red. And then when she came around and put it the offering in the offering, boom. You saw her. Talking about, man, I wouldn't mind. Ooh, wait, man. Ooh. Even the usher had to hit you and say, come on, come on, go. Your turn to go. You here standing here in mind, the lady. Amen. It was a desire. And the next thing we know, a month later, you hear seeing stuff you want to pause the sight. Ooh. But that's how it spread. Wait a minute. Let's go to the Bible. Y'all Bible way, folks. James chapter 1, verse number 13 through 15. Let's see. Because sin don't just start with an action. Most people think sin start with an action. But sin don't start with no action. Amen. Amen. I need somebody to read this for me. Where my reader at? Where my reader at? Amen. You ain't there yet. Bless your heart. You know, I can always count on you to read. Amen. That's in the New Testament, James. James. Come on, sister. You picking your nails and everything. You done got over there. You bored in church.
No, I'm not.
All right. Come on. James chapter 1.
Okay.
Verse 13 through 15.
13 through 15, James chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Amen. Did you notice the steps? What did she say the steps was? Before you get to sin, that's a what?
Bread of
see, it starts with a lot.
Sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.